Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. And you know what you can do when you get there. You can do lots of things. Listen to archives, read articles, find out more about our Brain Trust members. Link over to their very, very valuable sites. And you can subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week by email on Sunday to get you ready for the week ahead. William Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen. William S. Hubbard is our guest. Bill is an old friend of ours, an original member of the Brain Trust. He's the author of The Medical Privacy Rule, a guide for employers and healthcare providers. He's also the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. He is the human resources expert in our Brain Trust and our good friend, Bill Hubbard. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Always glad to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Bill. Bill, this thing with the Fair Labor Standards Act has really been an interesting law recently. There's been a lot of controversy, a lot of complication. I have to admit, I just don't really understand the overtime rules and some of the new things that are going out right now. You've written an article on it recently, and I want you to help us with it.
Okay, and we'll be sure to get this article onto the archives for you, for the listeners as well.
Absolutely.
This is one of the most confusing and misunderstood labor laws, and it's been around since 1938. But even with that time that it's been in place, it's one of the ones that many employers have a great degree of difficulty
with. You'd think after all these years that we'd be able to get it right, but it's just not that way, is it?
It's unfortunately not. There's a series of complex regulations that kind of define out who's covered by the law, who is exempted by the law. This is a law that gives us overtime. It's a law that gives us a minimum wage. It's a law that defines some rules limiting child labor, mm-hmm. and it defines some rules requiring time recording or procedures for employees that are covered by the law. So there's a variety of issues that are there, but even with those elements defined, a lot of firms misunderstand it. And what I've even found is sometimes they get misdirection or misadvice from their lawyers as well, who sometimes misunderstand some of the issues of the law. So
right.
Certainly when this type of issue comes up, be sure to speak with somebody who's a specialist in labor and employment issues.
Well, this law has created lots. The confusion around this law has created lots of lawsuits, hasn't it, over the years?
Well, there's been a number of them, and really the key part of the issues that occur here are claims for overtime pay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have not properly categorized your employees as exempt or non-exempt is the terms that come out of the law, a term that we might more typically correlate it to is salaried and hourly.
Right.
And if you have not categorized your employees properly, they may be entitled to receive overtime pay. And if a situation occurs where they feel they've been unfairly treated and they present a complaint to the government, to the U.S. Department of Labor, the Labor Department investigators can come in, look at your records, talk to your employees, determine whether an employee is salaried or hourly, determine whether or not that employee should have received overtime pay,
mm-hmm.
and then basically give you an invoice and say, this is what you owe for past overtime pay for Joe Blow because of your failure to classify him properly and because
right.
you had him work overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go back up to 2 years in terms of this assessment. So it is important to look at these issues carefully.
And overtime is just... We're not talking about time and a half here either, necessarily, are we?
Well, that's the heart of it, is that time and a half.
So are the people being paid single time but not double, not time and a half, or are they just not being paid extra for the work that they're doing?
Oftentimes where the complaints come in, an individual has been classified as salaried,
right.
not given overtime.
Not paid anything for working over.
Correct.
Never mind time and a half. They're paid nothing.
They get their regular weekly salary.
They get to come back to work, right?
and they're expected to come into work.
Yeah.
And the law says there are certain categories that can be exempted, and if you're not in one of the exempted categories, you are a covered employee, and you should be getting the time and a half
over
40.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of firms misunderstand that, and sometimes they'll seek advice, and sometimes the advice is, well, if you don't want to pay overtime, then just make them salaried. And, in fact, it's not that simple. The determination is based upon what the job duties are, what the responsibilities are, and there's part of the regulation that gives some guidelines that define what those categories are.
Now, at what moment in time do you stipulate that a person, do you point out or identify a person as hourly or salary? Is it when you tell them how they're going to be paid?
I would say, well, yes, when you tell them how they're going to be paid, when you hire them, really is the best time.
But there's no, there isn't, as I remember, I don't remember any specific form, like, you know, a DOL form, you know, 695B that says salaried, not salaried. I mean, you basically say, I'm going to hire you at $15 an hour, or I'm going to hire you at $450 a week.
Yeah, basically that's the way you do it, and that in part is your prerogative to decide what you want to pay that employee, and you can decide whether you want to pay them an hourly rate or you can pay them a salary kind of a basis.
Right.
But if they are a non-exempt or covered employee, then they should be receiving the time and a half for time worked over 40 hours in a week, and you should maintain a record of hours worked. In other words,
but you can't get away if you hire a truck driver and tell them you're going to pay them so much a week to try to avoid overtime. That's not going to fly, is it?
No.
But if you hire a delivery manager and pay that person a salary rather than hourly, you know that does work, doesn't it?
That typically could work depending upon the duties of that delivery manager.
Right.
And as an example, retail. A lot of our small businesses are retail, and a lot of retail firms have a store manager, mm-hmm. and then oftentimes an assistant manager. And that assistant manager, they have them do a lot of hours and a lot of duties, but they don't pay them that much very oftentimes.
Right.
And this is one of the jobs that's now been affected by the revision to the law, is that those jobs are now being categorized as salary exempt.
That's the new adjustment to the law that's been so controversial this year. And we're going to talk about that right after these messages with our good friend Bill Hubbard, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, 20 After. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back. Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Bill Hubbard is our guest. William S. Hubbard is the name that you'll find on the books that Bill has written, The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy and The Medical Privacy Rule, a guide for employers and healthcare providers. Bill, give us your website, please, and tell us
www.hubbard.com, and that's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T.
Two B's and two T's. And you also have the medical privacy website, too, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's medicalprivacy.info. And we have e-commerce up there and can accept orders for the Medical Privacy Rule book.
They can download it, right?
It's a CD and or loose leaf.
Okay.
So it's not a direct download.
Right.
But we can sell the product and ship that out within a day.
All right. Check that out, folks. And if you have employees and you're in any way involved in the health care, that you're providing them with insurance or any way at all that you might know about some of their health insurance information, you need to know what the rules are. And the best place to go, for me, as far as I'm concerned, is Bill Hubbard's website, medicalprivacy.info. Is that right, Bill?
Yes, it is.
Okay, folks, Bill is helping us understand the practical applications and the practical pitfalls of the overtime rules. In the next hour, Rob Green with the National Restaurant Association is going to help us understand the politics of this, which is really, which is going on right now. That's where all the controversy is right now, isn't it, Bill?
Yes, it is.
And the politics. And so Rob's going to do the politics next hour. Bill's helping us with the practical stuff right now. We need to know both of these things as employers of folks who we hire on an hourly or and or a salary basis. So, Bill, what's the litmus test as far as whether somebody can be hired hourly or whether they have to become a salaried or vice versa?
I'll attempt to boil this down. There's a lot of detail, but I'll attempt to boil it down. Basically, you should treat your people as hourly and give them overtime pay and keep a record of hours worked unless they are in an executive position, an administrative position, a professional position, or performing outside sales, mm-hmm. or doing certain computer analytical type of jobs.
Huh.
The executive one is pretty easy. These are our managers. Yeah. These are the people that hire and fire. They should have at least two people that they're directing.
We need to make sure that we include the word manager when we talk about executive, right? Because a lot of people are managers, but they don't think of themselves as executives.
If they manage a function, that may or may not qualify. If they manage other employees, two or more other employees, then that's going to certainly give them that executive exemption, which can make them salary.
Okay.
The second category is the administrative category, and this is one where a lot of firms have a lot of difficulty. Their perception often is, well, if they're in the plant, they're hourly. If they're in the office, they're administrative, and therefore they're salaried.
Mm-hmm.
That does not fly.
Right.
We need to look at positions that have a high degree of discretionary decision-making as part of their process. So somebody who just follows a procedure, like an administrative clerical person, is not going to qualify for the administrative exemption.
Plus, Bill, that when you put somebody on salary, typically they're paid a premium wage above an hourly wage because of, I always felt that was the case, because they were taking on more responsibility and they weren't subject to being paid overtime.
Some firms do try to do that. That's not required by the law, but that's the practice that a lot of firms do try to administer. The professional positions, the third category, is typically positions that require a college degree or advanced training to learn and perform and do that particular type of
stuff. So there's a category of professionals that might not be a management type of position?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
An example for that one could be like an engineering position, where you have a degreed engineer who is doing product design or manufacturing design or manufacturing flow process or something of that nature, and that position is a degreed engineer, then that could qualify as a professional exemption. A lower on that scale of activity, you could have somebody who is doing design or drawing or CAD, computer-aided design type of work that's more technical in nature, and is not creating the analysis and the design. That technical position probably should be treated as hourly, non-exempt. So very similar work, slight difference. Key factor being the degree is going to make a difference in how you categorize them.
All right.
The fourth category, outside sales, would be your people that are outside calling on customers.
They have the ability to leverage their own income through commissions.
Through commissions, typically they are 80% of the time outside knocking on doors.
Right.
If you have inside salespeople, oftentimes those positions should be categorized as non-exempt.
Unless they have the ability to leverage their income with commissions. Would you agree with that?
Well, not directly. There are some inside sales allowed in retail or an exempt category if they're highly paid, and the commission factor can come into play there. So it might be good to define two different levels of employees, one salaried commission, one hourly paid.
The
final category is computer positions, and these would be like the analytical type of jobs, a creator, design, a system.
Very confusing, very complicated, and the new law, I'm not sure, helped any. And we'll find out about that in the next hour. Bill Hubbard, thank you for being here. Good information. This really helped us today.
Always glad to be here, and always, if there's a question, give us a holler. We'll try to help you out.
Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, that's HUBBART.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break, 29 after. We'll be right back with Steve Martin.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.